What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Evolve You podcast. I am your host, Dr. Brian McElderry, a holistic life and business coach, speaker, and author. And I created this platform for us to grow into the best versions of ourselves through health, business, and personal development. If that sounds good to you, you're here in the right place, but it's not only going to be from my own experiences and solo episodes you might hear on this platform, but it's going to be also from influential guests that we bring on that I feel like have value and a story to tell and lessons in that story that hopefully we can all learn from and implement within our own respective lives. If you're here for that, we'd love for you to just share this out with one person. Leave us a rating and review if you do enjoy the episode or previous episodes that you listen to. If anything resonates with you, everything will be down in the show notes below. We look forward to serving you here on this platform. Enjoy the episode. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Evolve You podcast. I am your host, Dr. Brian McElderry. If you are here right now, you are in the right space. On this podcast, we talk about health, business, and personal development to evolve you into the best version of yourself. If this is your first time listening and you're on supporting our guest, or you just stumbled upon the podcast, we'd ask you to just stay all the way through, go back and listen to our recent episodes and say, hey, we've enjoyed this podcast. I want to subscribe. I want to tell people about it. Go ahead and blast it out to as many people as you would like. If this is your second time, third time, fourth time, or you're just a full-on subscriber of this podcast and you've been listening from day one, we appreciate you so much. And if you have not done so yet, go ahead and leave us a rating and review on Apple iTunes. If you don't know how to do that, you're a little technologically not savvy, just go ahead and check the description down below in the show notes and say, hey, Brian, I enjoyed the podcast. We enjoyed your guest. Let us know how we did, and you can go ahead and email us or contact us down there in the show notes. That being said, we have an amazing guest on our podcast today. As always, I say the guests that I bring on are always amazing leaders in their own right, in their own industry. They're doing all kinds of things, but really what we're interested in is that everyone has a story. Everyone has a story of how they got to where they are. And we love here on the Evolve You podcast is to see the evolution of the person and then showcase how they are now serving powerfully in the world. So today we have my brother, my newfound friend from another mother, that coaching guy, Benny Salas. What's going on, Benny?
Hey, what's up, Dr. Brian? Man, this is a pleasure, man. I've been waiting to get on this podcast. I hear it's the hottest thing on iTunes right now. That's what I hear.
Man, that's what we like.
Everybody's talking about it. Like, that's what I like to hear. Okay, good.
Love it. I love it. So I want to do a quick introduction of Benny. You know, he's being very modest right now in his tonality, but he's got so much power in his voice that you all will hear very shortly here. So Benny is a keynote speaker, executive coach, speaker coach, coaching expert. He's been doing it for years. He's very seasoned in the space. He's also a business strategist, and his primary goal right now is to help entrepreneurs, coaches, speakers to speak more with confidence and reach their targeted audience by developing effective strategies and systems that grow a profitable coaching or service-based business. So Benny, we'd love to hear a little bit more about where are you from? Tell the people just a little bit about you and we can start on the genesis of your story and kind of branch from there.
Yeah, man. So I'm from a planet called Chicago. No, just kidding. It's a whole other world in Chicago. I'm from Chicago, born and raised. I moved here to South Florida in 2003. Man, it's been 18 years. But originally from Chicago, family. I come from a Hispanic family, both Mexican, Puerto Rican, which is pretty unique. If you know anything about Latin culture, you know, we're very prideful about our cultures, right? So you have what they call arroz con gandules, which is like a Puerto Rican with like tacos, which is so weird. So in my home, we just ate whatever was there. And so we'd have a Puerto Rican Mexican meal, or one day we're all Mexican, the next day we're all Puerto Rican, then we're buying pizza the next. So it's crazy growing up in my household. But yeah, I have an older brother who's a year older than me, and I have two younger sisters. Everything for me just happened in Chicago. It's where I got my start in speaking as a 19-year-old communicator. It's where, life took a real interesting turn for me and realized there was more for me, that if I didn't leave my place of comfort, I was never going to reach the places that I knew I was meant to reach. And so, I've been on this journey of speaking and coaching, and but most importantly, those are things that I do. But when you ask, who are you? I'm a person who's always just felt this really burden for a calling on my life. And this real sense of that, if I just connect both my faith and my focus together, that I can really do some amazing things. And so, 43 years later, we're fast forwarding many years, many experiences, many trials later, but, I see it. I see it now, and things are becoming more in focus for me. And so, everything in between is all the ups and downs, the wins, the losses, the disappointments, the years of ministry, the years as now an entrepreneurship, or raising kids, growing a marriage. And so really, out of all those things, the one thing I would say, and I've never really had to answer that question in the season that I am now, like, who are you? Who is Benny Salas? And I think it's becoming more focused. And I think I'm still in that discovery phase of who am I, right? But I feel like the more that I just trust the process, the clearer it becomes of who I'm supposed to be, if that makes any sense.
Good. There's a lot of pivotal points in your story. And from Chicago, like you talked about offline, that you're kind of from inner city Chicago. So at 19, what were your interests growing up to where you got to 19 and said, I want to be a speaker? Like, most people at that age are scared to speak, or, don't even know what that really means to be an effective communicator. How did that come up until 19?
Yeah, so it was a combination of two things. It was what my grandmother led us to in our faith in Christ, right? So she always led us. She was always in church. She would always take us to church. My parents were not really big religious people, or better off, they were religious, but they weren't relational with God. And so they had all of the, you should do this, but, they didn't do it. And so very religious. And so I think my grandmother was always wanting to take us to church. And I remember probably at the age of 11, this pastor gets up and he looks at me and he basically prophesies to me and says, you're gonna speak like the prophet Isaiah. And I was like, all right, cool. And so there was always this, if there was a theme for me, it was always about speaking and communicating. And so how that evolved was, so I got involved in ministry at the age of 15, but I felt comfortable always being in front because when I was in middle school, I got involved in performing arts. And so I actually majored in performing arts all through high school. I was a phenomenal choreographer in performing arts dance. I took modern jazz, hip hop, Spanish dance, flamenco, you name it. Those are all things that a lot of people don't know that about me. I got a stack of awards, man, just things that, and accolades for performing arts. So I was never afraid to show up. I was never afraid of the stage. I was never afraid of the moment. Like, I always knew how to turn it on. I don't care. I could be having the worst day, but you put me in front of people and I'm going to give you the best performance, which is a strength of mine. But later on, it became a weakness of mine.
Yeah.
Because I was performing, right, for people, but I wasn't living for myself. I wasn't honoring myself. And so the performer in me, yeah.
I got to pause you right there because this was going to get later in the podcast, but sometimes we just got to pause for the calls. And this is so interesting because you developed this skill set and this power to serve in kind of your purpose at that stage in life. But it became detrimental because you weren't able to separate, or you were separating the performance from who actually Denny Salas was. How did that grapple with you at that time? Or were you even aware of it at that time? Like, when did that hit?
Yeah. And we're going to get right there. We're just going to go right there.
Yeah, we're just going to go right there. There.
Yeah. It was in my 30s where I really hit a really dark place. You know, when I moved here in 03, you know, I was this young 26-year-old, you know, preaching in front of hundreds of people, traveling nationally. I was a part of a national circuit where I would go and speak, and I actually spoke in the church that Dr. Martin Luther King actually preached at and was actually a minister there while he was in Bible college. Mm. And for me, that was an honor. It was an honor to be there and see all these pictures of Dr. Martin Luther King. I felt overwhelmed. I felt honored to actually be in that place preaching from that pulpit. And, you know, it was one of those things where I got used to it. I felt comfortable on the stage because I knew I could be something that others wanted. And yet I didn't want the person who I was becoming. I didn't want that person because I was struggling. I was having public success, but I was having private failure. I felt like I was losing myself. I was broken. I was hurt. I was battling an addiction. I was battling things that for me were really detrimental to my growth and development. And so when I realized, I got to this point of like in my 30s of just coming to my wife and saying, I mean, this was after, you know, disappointments and ups and downs and betrayals and just different things that happened that for me, I just continued to harbor. Right. Here's what I kept doing. I kept performing for the audience. I kept showing up for people and yet shutting down for me. So I was showing up for people and shutting down for myself. Showing up for people, shutting down until I no longer could show up because I was just shut down. And it was at that moment where I realized I need to make a change. I need to pivot. I need help. And it was hard, you know, because for me, my identity was rooted in the successful youth pastor, the preacher, you know, the guy who's supposed to plant the church. It was like, and why? Because that's what I was performing. You know, there's nothing worse than your favorite show no longer being on. And you're like, what happened to it? Right? And so that was me. I was people's favorite show. And I was comfortable with that because as long as they liked me, I could mask everything else. As long as they didn't disapprove of me, right? I could continue to be that. And it wasn't until I hit this point in my 30s where I really hit bottom. And I needed to take a moment to reconnect. Here's the thing. I needed to reconnect with God again. I needed to reconnect with myself again. I needed to hit the reset button of my life. And what I found was some of my darkest days was really the beginning of some of my greatest days ahead. And so what I thought was a curse was a blessing in disguise. And so today, you know, I live from that place of brokenness. I live from that place of that there's more for me and that I don't have to perform for people. And I love that. I never feel like I have to perform anymore because it's tough. It's tough. You can only keep up the act for so long and realize, okay, the show's over.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. This is so interesting because there's so many people that are listening right now or watching that are going through this brokenness. And it's so interesting that you're now helping these people not only become these powerful speakers and coaches and entrepreneurs. That's wonderful, right? But what I love about you is that you really care. You really get into the weeds of people's stories and, you know, evoke this power within them that they never knew they had. So before we jump into kind of how you do that, I'd love to hear in the midst of the weeds, like you talked about like faith and rebuilding that. And I'm a believer as well. We've connected on that, but how does somebody like become self-aware enough to know when they need help? Like when do they need to reach out to a coach, a minister, a confidant, a friend? Like what gave you the power to do that?
I'd love to tell you that I just had it in me. I did it.
Yeah.
I remember the road that I was going was I was chasing after the wind, you know. And I remember And that's the only way I can put it. Holy Spirit just woke me up one day and said, you're going to lose your family. And I remember going to the living room and just sobbing uncontrollably, sobbing. And I'm like, I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to lose, you know, these things. But I realized how unhealthy I was and how if I didn't stop to really regroup and refocus where I was at, that things were not going to get any better. I was headed down a very destructive path. And so, you know, it's those moments for me that, you know, where I begin to see the light again. I begin to see the opportunity. I begin to say, okay, you know, here's a pivotal moment in my life. And, you know, I share this story that my wife and I, we got separated in 2010. And the story is like this. When we were separated, she said God spoke to her and told her that you're going to have a son and you're going to name him Nehemiah. He says, because like I rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, I'll rebuild your marriage. And today my son is 7 years old. His name is Nehemiah. And that's wow. a testimony of God's faithfulness, his grace that I don't deserve, but I definitely didn't earn. And so I'm reminded, I always try my best to stay in a place of humility. Mm-hmm. I would try to stay in a place where I understand grace for people, grace for one another, because I know what bottom looks like. Yeah. And here's the thing about a bottom, it really doesn't exist because it always gets worse. Just when you thought you hit your bottom, you could hit a new one. And so you're like, oh, wait, I thought that was the bottom. You know, there's a new bottom. And so I think the more that I just continue to trust the process of my faith journey, the more I continue to show up, the more I continue to really, and you know what, bro, it was really me working on myself. Getting into recovery, 12-step recovery, getting rid of therapies, finding healthier ways to serve in the local church and in the community. Understanding that all of these were elements, stepping out and starting my business. You know, don't all of that. Like, I love to tell you that, you know, my story is one of successful entrepreneurship. No, it's been hard as hell.
Yep.
It's been difficult. It's been challenging. It's me wrestling with myself. It's me believing in myself and believing in the truth and believing in God's promises and believing that wherever I am in life in this moment is exactly where I need to be. And sometimes that's tough because I feel like I wasted a lot of time. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've missed moments or there's windows and, you know, there's waves of things. I'm like, oh, I should have been there. And, you know, like if I'm not careful, I'll miss the journey that God has me on now.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's, I don't know if that answers your question, but.
No, but it does. It does. And, you know, it's your story, as you know. So however you tell it, I mean, we're just all embracing it. And if you're listening right now, hopefully it resonates with you in some type of way that you're not alone in this. That when you see people on stages or, you know, with brands or businesses, a lot of people are envying. When in reality, you and I, Benny, we're just like, wow, do people really think highly of me? Like, I don't think highly of myself sometimes. And we want to let you know on this podcast that you're not alone. And that's why it's so important, the journey and the evolution, which is why on this Evolve You podcast, we want this to be around stories and evolving consistently around day-to-day work. So Benny, appreciate you for sharing that. So at this point, you've regained your faith. What age did you get married? Because you said you had some brokenness in the marriage. What age did you say, hey, I'm gonna get me something beside me? Like, I need some companionship.
Man, it was 2000. I got married at 30. I was age 30. I got married, and we didn't have kids until I was 36, and then we had our daughter 2 years ago. So I'm done. I'm done with kids. I'm good. So
I'm good. It's like, it's enough. You get me a son and a daughter.
I said two swings. I'm two for two, and that's it. I'm good. And so I got married at age 30, and I met my wife. We have a funny story. So the church that I came to, that Sunday that they were like introducing me, right? I go up and I get ready to preach in front of 2,000 people. And, you know, she says, hey, I'm going to marry that man. This is what she told her friend. It's okay. And I didn't know her. And she says, I'm going to marry that man, whatever. And then I introduce my fiance. And she goes, maybe I'm not going to marry that man. But interestingly enough, we ended up 2 years after I came to that church. I started to date my wife. And what I really loved about her was just the way that she carried herself, very studious, someone who I felt like really had good values, great family. And so we've been together since 2005. We're going on 16 years together and 13 years married.
Mm. Yep. That's a blessing, man.
Yeah, yeah, 14 years married.
Uh-oh.
13 years right now. No, 13 years right now, and then 14 in November. We celebrate November 17th.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, wow, wow. Congratulations, man. That's a blessing. That's
Thank
a
you. Blessing. Thank you.
You know, I hear Benny's kids and the way he, you know, when we're on Clubhouse together, if you don't know about Clubhouse, that's a whole other conversation about this new platform where Benny and I connected. But, you know, I hear his kids in the background sometimes, and, you know, just a testament to this man's perseverance and love for his family and the way he shows up, not only for them, but for them to support him in the work that he's doing to say, hey, dad's, you know, trying to be better. Dad's trying to like show up for other people and he's doing the good work. So just want to commend you for that, man. At this point in your life, you've got the marriage, you're pivoting. Now you said, I need to go a different direction. And you're now in this coaching space and you've been doing this for a while. At what point did you pivot into getting certified and getting into coaching? Like, how did you get introduced into coaching? And then we can move on from there.
Yeah. So I had a run for a full-time ministry until about 2006, 2007. And then I had to like really figure out, you know, one, at the time, mind you, in 2006, the ministry really wasn't like paying what they're paying now. And not only that, but if really like shout out to the graphic designers, you're more valuable to the church than anybody right now. if you know lighting and graphic design and sound, you've got an instant job in church anyways. Oh, that's a whole other conversation. But at that time, you know, I was really kind of just like reconfigure at the church that I was at. We were at a church for a period of time, not the one that brought me here, but another church. And it just didn't work out there. The pastor, it was some things that were going on behind the scenes with the pastor. And I said, this isn't the healthiest environment for me. So then I was trying to figure out what next. My wife and I went through a journey of preparing to plant a church. So we were going through the Evangelical Covenant and their church planting process. And it was a 2-year process. And when we thought we were going to plant the church, we didn't plant the church. We actually helped somebody else plant the church. In that time, I'm bouncing around to different jobs. And I'm working for the homeless. I'm working juvenile facilities and all kinds of things, trying to figure out what's my career path, what's my role. And it was very frustrating because I didn't have a clear trajectory. So then I get a job with United Way as a financial coach. And that's when everything changed for me. I was like, aha, coaching is it. And I felt like, okay, this is something that I felt like I was always doing, but I didn't have context to it. I didn't have a structure. I didn't have a framework. I didn't even have an idea of how to even call it. We just called it helping people. You know what I mean? I'm helping people, you know?
Exactly.
But then when I started to coach people and to learn the coaching modality and to learn that the best way to help somebody is to actually coach them through the process. It's kind of like that saying, you know, give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. And I felt like coaching was helping to teach somebody how to fish for themselves, how to access, how to find the bait, how to put the hook on, you know, how to assess where they're at, right? And I felt like when I started to do financial coaching, I was a financial coach, so we did credit, we did budgeting, savings, assets, liabilities, plugging people into, you know, getting a loan, housing, neighborhood housing services. And so there was all these conversations about empowering people to become financially stable. Mm-hmm. And so, man, I coached hundreds of people, Brian. I mean, hundreds of people. I spoke in front of hundreds of people. We would do workshops, we do training, and we were focusing on two audiences. I've always been one that's been very community driven. So I was in the Hispanic African American communities working with at-risk families, saying, no, you can do this. No, you can believe in your dream. I know you don't have an education. I know you got bad credit. I know X, Y, and Z, but let's empower you around these things. And so for me, my training ground was really in a place where it was with people who were struggling. It was with people who needed something to believe in or to find hope around this conversation. And, you know, I felt like, man, when you talk about money, you talk about some of the most personal things. You talk about the money message, education, you're talking about neighborhood, you're talking about upbringing, you're talking about, you know, your demographic, your opportunities. You go through so many conversations, and this is where I learned how to coach. The certification was just wallpaper, so people think I was legit. But some, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I did that so that I can, you know, become an expert at this and really, you know, go after the bigger fish and really help people along the journey. But man, it was coaching that mom in the inner city, you know, of Miami in South Florida, and that, you know, I saw some amazing things. I saw a lady who was paying almost 20, and it's crazy because people are like, oh, I saw that video. She was paying 20% on an auto loan. And 20% on an auto loan. It's crazy. And then we said, okay, here's what we're gonna do. One, we're gonna get you a secured credit card. Right? We're gonna get you a limit of 500. You're gonna use this, pay it down, right? Build your credit. And then 6 months passed by, we're like, okay, now let's look at your score. She never had a score, it was like 5-something. Or she had something on her credit. We disputed it out of her credit, got it off her credit, went on Experian, did the whole thing, right? She won. And again, you know this, you do credit now, you do a lot of that. There are so many things on your credit report that should not be there. But anyways, that's a whole other deal, right? We help her refinance her car, right? She literally goes from 20% down to 7%. And that lady is now able to help her daughter and her family buy a home just because we helped her. Now, remember, her name was Lucille Mellerson, and she was an amazing woman. She was an older woman, but I remember she says, Benny, I'm going to trust you because I need you. And that's when I said, okay, you know, coaching is I step into my space, but I understand that I'm not the hero of the story. She's the hero of the story. And so how do I do this? So for me, I learned quickly how to coach efficiently. Along with of course, I'm still speaking, I'm still doing all these other things. And so for me, I just saw this as like two superpowers of mine, two strengths of mine that I could really, really push forward. And that's where I learned about the Coaching Training Institute, which was part of the curriculum of my training with NeighborWorks. Yeah, NeighborWorks. We did the financial coaching stuff. And then that was sponsored by Citibank. And I went through a whole training. Actually, the training was in Dallas. Training was in Dallas. I went to Dallas years ago. And once I did that, I'm like, okay, how do I take this to the next level? And so in 2015, you know, I'm bouncing around from job to job. And I'm like, you know, I want to start my own business. And, you know, I waited, man. I waited because I was like, I don't know. Maybe I just haven't found the right job. And then I realized, it's not that I wasn't the right job. I was just not the right employee.
I can attest to that.
Yeah, I'm like, there's nothing wrong with the job. It's me. I'm the problem, right? And so then I started going to coaching training school. Spent 6 months there, in getting trained, and then I wanted to get certified. And I remember just telling the lady, I said, "Listen, I know you don't have a scholarship program." But again, I'm bouncing around still between jobs, not really settled. It's frustrating, you know, unemployment. I think I maybe started being Ubering at that time. I was doing Uber, you know, I was ministering on Sundays, Ubering on the weekends, coaching at night, Ubering at night, coaching in the morning. It was crazy. And all this, mind you, while I'm watching my son at home. Crazy. And I just remember, like, God, why am I going through this? Like, just so frustrated. And then I I get to this point where I finish my coaching, sort of my coaching program, my training. And I'm bothering this lady. She's my advisor. I'm bothering her. Hey, any scholarships? No. Any scholarships? No. She said that. She told me there might be one. And then one day I call her. She goes, before you say anything, I have a scholarship for you. It was a $6,000 scholarship to go get certified in another 6 months of coaching training. And I looked at my wife. I said, this is what the Lord wants me to do. Mm-hmm. And one thing my wife always says to me, and it scares me when she says it, she goes, every time you pray, you get what you want. And I said, boy, I need to pray more than But she says, whatever you want, it seems like you just know you're going to get it. Mm-hmm. And that's just the kind of faith I have.
Yeah,
I really do. That's why I don't have, that's why I can't get distracted by other people's, you know, stuff and what they have, because it doesn't align. Not that it doesn't align with my faith, but I'm believing for something. Mm-hmm. And the moment I stop to look, I start to sink in where I'm supposed to be standing. Mm-hmm. Right, it's like Peter getting out of the boat, and you know the analogy that we hear in scripture, right? Peter getting out of the boat, and him saying, you know, like that confidence, you know, that kind of turned into arrogance. Like, yeah, I got this.
Yeah,
boom. You know what I mean? And so I think for me, it was really kind of seeing that part of myself and saying, okay, this is what I want, and then that door opened. And so from there, I finished my coaching training around 2016. I applied for ICF. I met all the criteria. I became an associate certified coach. And then I had 3 years from that moment to renew my coaching certification. So within those 3 years, I jump on a coaching platform called Sage, and they just start hitting me with clients, and plus my own clients. And then I meet the criteria for PCC, which is a professional credential coach, which is a second level. And then now I'm pursuing a master's level coach. And in the next 6 months to a year, I'm actually going to build out a certified coaching academy with the ICF so that my coaching training is actually accredited and people can actually get certified. So that's a little bit of my coach. And again, I coach people every day. This is what I was telling somebody. I said, listen, I coach every day. You and I know we get on these platforms and we're like, you ain't no coach, right? Like,
Yeah. The ABC right. method, right? Always be coaching.
Yeah.
Always coaching.
Yeah, always. Always. Like, that's like telling a singer, like, oh, you know, what song do you have? Oh, well, you know, I got one out there. You just can't find it. Oh, what do you mean? So for me, I'm constantly in this space. You know, it's evolved, though. I'll be honest with you. From what I used to charge to the level of clientele. Like, you know, yesterday I coached, I had a call yesterday with an individual who is probably going to be my highest ticket item client that I've ever had. And, you know, this is somebody who, actually I was telling him, I think you and I were talking about it prior. You know, he's going to fly in, and, you know, if we get this agreement, he's going to fly in every month and we're going to do a whole day. We're just a whole day. So, you know, I mean, other than cha-ching, right? Other than that, you know, it's really about like, okay, I see that everybody's different. Everybody has a different coach. So now I'm expanding things. Now I'm really able to build my legs. And it's good to be. And again, from that, I developed the name That Coaching Guy. And that actually came out of, and when did I launch that? I launched That Coaching Guy officially in 2017, 2018. I had a horrible name. I don't even know why. It was like Life Solutions Group. I'm like, why did I even choose that? That's not even me. But I was like, maybe that's what I should do. Maybe it's like, and you know how that is. When you're in the coaching space, you're trying to figure out what's your niche, who's your market, what's your price point, what's your name, what's your brand. There's all these questions. And so, man, I was like, I want to be known as that coaching guy, the guy who coaches. And I was like, I'm going to go with that brand. Let's do it. Mm. And then that's been the evolution of it.
Man. If you are listening right now, and maybe you're not able to see the video, wherever you are in the world, I mean, I commend Benny on his branding. I mean, the microphone, like even the cartoon character that just looks exactly like him. Like, it's the branding's on point, and it matches like his intention and his love for coaching. I truly believe like this is what he was meant to do, because every day he literally is like, how can I help? How can I help? How can I support? How can I coach you? And then as the art of coaching is intertwined and the business acumen comes, that's when obviously people are not understanding that there's an energetic transfer of money and finances. And it's crazy to, it's not crazy, it's just crazy faith and the grace that God has bestowed upon you, man, to really bless you with all these different integral pieces of your life, from the financial coaching to be receiving of now money to coach people on a different level. And then you start in ministry, so the speaking ties into that, and then your faith on your prayer, and then like everything just comes full circle. But a lot of people just aren't able to persevere through the dips, in the troughs, in the down times. And that's where you come in. And I'd love for you to speak on how you coach individuals on their confidence and coach them on perseverance and get them to know that their voice matters. And like, what are your modalities to really take someone through a process with you?
Yeah. So I think the first thing is, so when someone comes to me and says, you know, I'm struggling with confidence, when let's say it's public speaking, I normally like to say, well, let's talk about what these fears are, right? So that one, we get a little bit more, one thing that is good for you, if you're a coach or you're somebody who's in the space, is to allow your clients to hear themselves, right? Allow them to hear themselves. Like, do you hear what you're saying? You know, kind of one of those deals, right? Because what you're saying sounds crazy. And if you think it sounds crazy, then it sounds crazy. And so ideally, what I love to do initially is to really have these conversations that really create more of an assessment and more of a, like, let's see what's out there. The way I like to put it is like, you know, our lives are a blank canvas, right? And you got the paint, right? Like, so if your canvas is just a bunch of splatter, that doesn't mean that it's art, and it doesn't mean that you're creating something. Now, it could look creative, but if you're saying, well, what's the name of this piece? I don't know. It's just paint. But when you paint it and you take the time to outline it and color it in and create the scene, you can title it better. And I think most people don't know the theme of their life. That's it. Their theme has been wrapped in fear, doubt, worry, has been wrapped up in other people's opinions, has been wrapped up in just a bad experience. And so one, I say you almost have to pull back a little bit and allow them to say, okay, what's actually here? What's the fear, right? Because for me, how someone becomes curious will help them understand, okay, what can I be confident about? Because oftentimes it's just a level of confusion. They're just confused. Right. And so if you help them understand, well, what's possible here, right? And the minute they start to see possibilities, the confidence meter you can see starts to rise. Right. And so confidence to me is one of those really internal conversations that it happens over time. It happens with as individuals are, you know, doing whatever it is that they say they're gonna do. They build more confidence, they build more momentum. And so for me, when I look at it, I say, when someone says, yeah, I'm lacking confidence in this area, I like to just strip it down and say, well, let's define the area. Don't just call it a fear. Fear of what? Let's put a label on it and let's put a name on it. The moment you do that, you actually take the power back away from you. Because now you know what it is. There's nothing worse than fearing something you don't know. But most people don't have a fear of the unknown because they know exactly what the fear is. They just need to hear themselves say it and then realize, wait a minute, I knew what it was. So then why are you treating it differently, right? And so then we go through a process of, and again, I think with each client, I'd love to tell you there's like a set formula, but every client is different. There's not one client that I've ever had where I've used the same method. You know what I mean? And so for me, yeah, go ahead.
No, that's the beauty of the art of coaching. I mean, I feel like you and I both understand that, but when people are getting into creating this modality and formula and wanting expedited results for their business or whatever they're creating, they want to just put people into like a conveyor belt and put them on a conveyor belt. And to me, that's not really coaching. I mean, you can have a process or a journey that you take people through, but you might have to take some detours with certain people. And I think that's what separates really the best coaches or leaders, is being able to really lean into what the person's actually needing.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost see it like this as well. Like, and I love what you said. It's like a conveyor belt, right? And I think a lot of these programs that are built today do that, right? They're like, just follow this formula, do X, Y, and Z. We'll run you through this, and then you'll come out on the other end. It's almost like that, like, you know, like when the baggage comes out of the airport, right? Like, it just goes through the air and it comes back around. And you know what the problem is? People go right back, and then guess what? They're back in the same loop again. I don't know how many people, I can't even tell you how many people I've talked to, and I'm just like, you just had the wrong coach. Mm-hmm. You had the wrong program, right? And so for me, I like to look at something more from the perspective of every individual has their unique on switches. Every individual has their unique strengths and weaknesses. And I normally tell my clients, it isn't until about the third session that we really start to get into things, right? Where things really start to click. Because the first two sessions, I'm really just getting to know you. I'm throwing things out. I'm seeing what sticks, what doesn't stick, what lands. I'm putting things out you because you're helping me frame this picture more clearly, right? And so it changes the way, like when people are like, oh, in four sessions, we can get you like this. I'm like, I could try, you know what I mean? I can try, but it's not going to work. I mean, and so for me, it changes the way that I offer my services, right? If somebody wants to be very specific and we can get it done in one session, I'll tell them we can get it done in one session, but I'm not going to make somebody or encourage somebody to pay for something that I know they're not going to get a result on. I know that, right? And so for me, I structure it in a way that lets me, it gives me the ample time to work with somebody. Because you don't turn 30 years around in 30 days. I don't care who you are. Okay? It takes time. Like, it takes time not only to understand it, but to then make that pivot and then adjust to it, to a habit, right? So how do you go from pivot to habit, right? That's where people, that process in between is always challenging. So I kind of like the fact of, like, when somebody comes to me, we just put it all out there. And so for me, strategy calls are really important. Listen, I know in 15 minutes if I need to work with you or not. That's just it. That's it. 15 minutes. And sometimes the first 2 minutes, I'm like, it's not going to work. It does not work. It's not going to work. But then you, and again, this is the power of Clubhouse, right? Think about this. When somebody pursues us for coaching, they've heard us for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. They've watched us. Literally, they watched a little green thing go from here to here to here to here, and we're navigating and facilitating the space for them. And if they see that in you now, what was going to look like if you actually work with them? And so I think, again, you know, we have this unique advantage through platforms like Clubhouse or whatever applications people are using to engage, to really get our voice and let our presence be known. Right. And I think it's a game changer. And so, you know, I say, you know, for me, and you know, you and I, we work the stage, man. You know, we work the stage, but we don't work people. You know, we do what we do best. You know what I mean? And we do it with integrity. We do it with respect. And again, if you're, you know, for those in the audience, you may not know we're talking about Clubhouse, but you know, if you do know what we're talking about, this conversation makes sense. You know, we're there to help people. And, you know, guys like us, we're going to last the test of time. We're going to last past the hype. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And really, you know, be a source of strength for the long haul. So, yeah, man. So I know that's a lot, but ooh. I think, yeah.
Ooh. Vinny, this has been awesome, man. One last question, and really two questions that I end off with any guest that comes on the podcast, because you've expressed so much, and we're going to give all the mic over to you to really tell people where they can find you, how to reach out to learn more about your story, and maybe something resonated. Maybe they're from Chicago. Maybe they are in ministry. Maybe they are just, you know, in their marriage and struggling. Maybe they're in a job they hate and wanting to know how to pivot out. Whatever it is, like, we're going to give you that in just a second. But I always love to leave people with some type of thing that they can do right now from our guests. And you talk so much about confidence. And, you know, I really want to really hit home on that for people that are listening right now, because we're coming out of you know, a pandemic. We're still essentially in it, but we're slowly coming out. And people have just lost confidence and faith in themselves, but also in government, in their families, in their friends, in their self-worth. What is something that, or maybe like one or two things, maybe three, that people can do leaving from this podcast to kind of rebuild their confidence other than reaching out to you, man, that they can really start with right now and just doing something very simplistic if something comes to mind to you?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think that the moment that I realized that I was not really living my potential, that I needed to to change something, and I needed to change quickly. That it was that either I was going to, like I look at it like this, your passion will focus you or frustrate you. Your passion will focus you or frustrate you, right? Because you're like, oh man, I could do that. Why am I not doing that? And you start to compare yourself and you start to get in your feelings and you're frustrated. But when you're focused, your passion, right? Passion is like fire. And when you put fire in the right place, it's good usage. When you take fire out, it's messy. And so I think for people, you know, one is to really understand what are you passionate about, right? And then ask yourself, now, what do I do about it? What do I do about it? So many people are waiting, right? They're waiting for someone. And the scripture of like the man standing next to the pool, and in this pool, you know, he could be healed if he just, you know, asked for help, and they take him there, and he's just there waiting. And I think that's been so many people's challenges. You're waiting for the opportunity instead of creating the opportunity, right? Mm. Like, you have to understand that a step of faith, you know, is about you taking that step so that you have something to have faith about. I think oftentimes people are just sitting back waiting for, waiting, and they're full of excuses and not full of efforts, right? And so one- That's a whole other conversation, right? But how do you get to that place where you're saying, man, I gotta take that next step. I gotta try. I normally tell people, hurry up and fail. Hurry the heck up and fail and try. Like most people, Dr. Brian, have quit before they started. And they're calling it failure. And you didn't fail, you quit. It's the difference, okay? So how do you have that winning mindset? How do you develop that stamina to continue running your race? You know, and I think this is what we strive for as coaches. I want to see my clients win. I want to see my clients launch my, you know, I recently just had a client launch her podcast. I love that. You know what I mean? Recently, and another one who's, you know, she had this aha moment and like, okay, this is my message. I've seen another one say, okay, this is the message I've been looking for. Another one, like, I'm surrounded with these testimonials and stories, but it would have never happened had I sat back and wait, well, I don't have the money. Well, I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have the branding. I don't have the website. I don't have the, like, excuse. Like, in the end, all excuses, because when you want it, you go get it and you figure it out. And so I want to encourage somebody with that. Like, man, you gotta get out there. You gotta remember, you are a seed, but if you're not planted, you will never grow. And so you gotta plant yourself.
Wow.
You gotta plant yourself.
If you guys didn't hear that, hopefully you took some notes. Just rewind that back, because I'm just over here. If you're not able to watch this and you're listening right now, wherever you are in your car, your kitchen, your home, apartment, wherever you are, and you're like, wow, okay, I'm gonna get my butt up right now. We challenge you to start where you are, start with what you have, and people will respect that. It's like, hey, if you can deliver a service or a message to somebody and that person is willing to hear or will benefit, you're doing people a disservice by not. Well, I can't serve them till I have a website. So you're saying that a website is holding you back from your message. Right? Like, those are the types of things we're talking about. I'm so glad Benny brought that to the forefront here on the podcast. But at this time, Benny, I want to thank you, brother, for just coming on here, pouring out your heart, man, telling your story. I mean, we could be talking for hours on this and just go in so much in depth, and we'll probably have a repeat of this on the podcast to go over some like details over excuses and those types of things. But at this time, I'd love for you to just tell people where they can find you. And the lasting question is, how are you evolving? I always ask that to my guests, like, what do you have coming new? What's in the pipeline? How are you growing right now? So on you.
Yeah. And I think one is you can follow me at That Coaching Guy. I have the platforms that I'm really active on is Instagram, obviously Clubhouse, LinkedIn, Twitter, and I have a Facebook group, Facebook page. Those are just things that I have. They're more like landing spots for people to look for me. But primarily, you'll find me there. You can go to thatcoachingguy.com. We are in a revamp right now, which is a good problem. You know, we're building now membership sites. And, you know, shout out to Kajabi, right? Even though we're not getting paid for it. But, you know, but you know, things like that, we're actually trying to build more opportunities for people to get involved. I wanted that if 100 people tomorrow, you know, I caught wind or I said something that went viral, 100 people said, man, Benny, can you service me? I want to be able to service them. I want to be able to be able to serve people in multiple capacities. And so for me, it's aligning strategies. It's aligning new people, you know, adding team members. And so, you know, I feel like I'm transitioning from just like, you know, being this kind of like entrepreneur to more of a CEO of my business and really being able to lead it and manage it and understand it. And it takes time. It takes time, man. It's not overnight. You know, I've been at this for 5+ years. And, you know, normally at this time, people just quit and go back home. And they're like, bye. You know, I feel like I'm just getting started. You know, so that's why I know I'm cut out for this, you know. And plus, I suck as an employee, but that's a whole other conversation.
It's like, this is the only way out. I got to figure this thing out.
This is the only way out. It's ride or die, man. It's it. But yeah, you can find me there. And you know, things that are coming up, man. I've always had this strong sense of wanting to build out a professional coaching academy, and where people get certified. And my goal is to take these entrepreneurs and say, listen, give me 6 months, and we'll train you. You will find your coaching legs. You will find again and. You hear it out there, right? You hear it in the bio description. You're like, ooh, it's going to be a rough coaching experience with you because you're just not sure. You're all over the place. And so I think one, I do believe in the more that the coaching industry grows, you do need to be certified somewhere. You do need to really have experience where you can. And I talk about the five things, the fortified, certified, verified, qualified, and quantified. And if you want to know a little bit more about that, you can just reach out to me. Mm-hmm. But those are five ways that people will look for the type of coaches and coaching that resonates with them. But, you know, launching that and then building out a 6-month business accelerator program that's really all inclusive with a team of people. And so those are two things that I see happening. Actually, I'm also going to be just sent today to talk to my lawyer about a trademark for my book title. And before I say what it is, I'm gonna get a trademark because the title's fire. And so did that, waiting for my trademark back for That Coaching Guy. I just see so many things in the pipeline, even things we could do on Clubhouse to really maximize audience and community. You know, I think for me, it's just about pacing myself and understanding, you know, my developmental process as a CEO and as the business. Because you can do a lot of things and be busy, but I just wanna do the right things and be productive. And so if I can focus on that, locking on that, I'm going to see more success. And again, I want to be able to train coaches and not only train coaches, but also build something that I say, hey, we got something here in the U.S. And you know, right now I'm building great relationships with people in the U.K. I could see a coaching program. You know what I mean? Like those are things I would have never thought about. But like in the next 3 to 5 years, man, it's going to get turned up. We're going to turn the heat up. You know, we are, man. And I love it. I'm excited.
This is awesome. This is awesome, man. Well, at this time, Benny, this has been amazing. Appreciate you so much, brother, for coming on. And as Benny said, if you want to reach out to him, all of the information will be down in the show notes. if you're listening, you jot down some notes really quick, or you're right now listening to podcasts and looking them up, tell them, hey, I just heard you on the podcast. I just heard you on the Evolve You podcast. Love what you had to say. Reach out to him, show him some love, all those good things. We appreciate you so much. If it's your first time, again, like we talked about at the beginning of the episode, if you enjoyed this one, go ahead and hit subscribe, share it with one or two, or if you're feeling good, three friends, family members, whoever that might be in your space, go ahead and leave us a rating and review inside of Apple iTunes. And if you don't know how to do that, go ahead and email us and just shoot us a message and say, hey, I don't know how to do this. Guide me through it. I want to show some love. We appreciate you all for being here. Thank you again. My name is Dr. Brian McElderry, and this is the Evolve You podcast. Until next time, we'll see you all in the next episode.